morning I'm going to read from Psalm 46, God's defense of the city and people, the leader of the Korahites according to Amos. The song, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth shall change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city, it shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Second reading is from James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, Taming the Tongue. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouth of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder whenever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire! And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue. A restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine? No more can salt water yield fresh. This ends the second reading.
I invite you to stand in your place for the gospel. From the Holy Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 27 through 38. Peter's declaration about Jesus. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. This is the good news.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. As I pondered this 20th anniversary of 9/11, in my preparations for today, for worship, I decided, let me go back and see what I said, what I preached on the Sunday after 9/11. That Sunday was also a big day for First UCC in Milford, New Jersey. It was homecoming Sunday, so a lot of folks were planning on coming when we would be honoring 15-year members and 25-year members and 35-year members and plus 50-year members, and there were a good number of those folks. I pulled that bulletin and looked at all those folks, and of course a lot of them are now with Jesus in heaven. And so I found this sermon and I thought, you know, why don't I just share with you these 20 years later what I preached and what I said, what I put together for that Sunday, God in the Rubble. So this is the sermon of the day. Let us pray. May the Lord bless us as we hear this word to us this day, these 20 years later, from this horrific event for our nation and for us as people and as your people. In Jesus we pray. Amen. The day before 9/11, our beloved, longtime church treasurer, Olive Strauss, had passed away. She was beloved. And so Tuesday morning, I was there at the church, not only beginning to put together the homecoming bulletin, but also to begin to prepare a funeral for my good friend and colleague at the church. I was going to deliver altar flowers from Sunday. That was my plan on Monday. And of course, with the news of her passing, I decided I'll bring those flowers to her good friend and colleague at the local bank. And so I did that instead. So Tuesday morning was to be my preparation for her service. And then the news came. First, a plane crash into the Twin Towers, then a second commercial jet crash, and the nightmare of an outright terrorist attack, which included a deadly jet crash in Pennsylvania and at the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. I got up from my table. I prepared right behind the sanctuary. There was an open space, something similar to this, and I had an 8-foot table, and I would sit there so I could sprawl out all of my preparations. And I sat there and I gazed forward and I looked at the Gethsemane window of that beautiful church, and I decided I need to stop doing what I'm doing and go to pray. And so I went to the front of the church, and in my sobbing, I began my prayers. I came back to my table and I decided I needed to go home for those moments to join in the national vigil of tears, numbness, and shock. And I thought, what now, God? I prayed. Prayer vigils were planned across the country, and our communities were no different. I attended and participated in a prayer service at Frenchtown Methodist Church on Tuesday night, and here at the Milford Presbyterian Church, or there at the Milford Presbyterian Church on Wednesday. Both absolutely packed, right? Both exhibiting total shock, but also with a clear resolve, a great coming together, lifting up the full gamut of emotions to God and a sincere extension of caring to one another. another historical day of infamy, 9/11. There's an unforgettable scene described in Elie Wiesel's book entitled Night. Still have that book, it's a gem. Where children of the Holocaust are hanging on the gallows. Children are hanging on the gallows. Someone in the crowd spoke, "Where is God?" And the answer comes back from another in the crowd, "On the gallows. God is on the gallows." As I felt and feel the universal question, "Where is God?" in the midst of this horrible event of last Tuesday, my gut response is, God is there. God is in the rubble. God is with the dead, the dying, the injured, the heroes, the rescue teams. God is with our nation. God is in the search for justice and in the ultimate end of violence and destruction. If you are like me in trying to find solace, even emotional survival in these days, the Psalms are a wonderful place where we can go. There is literally something for everyone in this central collection of Holy Writ. You can find expressions for the love of God as well as outrage toward God, devotion to armaments and devotion to peace, anger, hostility, but also joy. Here in these pages of inspired Word of God, we find faith and despondency, confidence and anxiety, hope and despair. It is filled with humanity, all of us. This is not a collection that soars so high that it never lands. On the contrary, it lands right in our own backyard, and at times even closer, right in our lap. Jesus often quoted passages from the Psalms. The Psalms were our Lord's prayer book and hymn book. Remember the psalm Jesus quoted on the cross, Psalm 22, before that beloved Psalm 23. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, among the countless psalms and other places in Scripture is 46. Dan read that for us today, and it's with your bulletin. Listen again to these words. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her right early. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. God utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Well, first of all, to believe in such a God of power and strength is to believe in a God who can do marvelous things, who can move mountains if God wishes, or quiet shaking mountains if God wishes. This omnipotent, all-powerful God is able to do great things, for God is unlimited. This is the kind of God that we find in this psalm. God is a mover and a shaker. God is an activist who spoke and it was accomplished. God's word was and is action. God is a doer who wants to be involved with his people. God is on the front lines with us. God is even out in front of us on occasion. That great hymn that we sing on Reformation Sunday, A Mighty Fortress by Martin Luther, was written for the Diet of Spies in 1529, Spires, in 1529, an assembly when the German princes made their formal protest against the revocation of their liberties, and thus were first named Protestants. This hymn was a call for action, as was the Psalm 46 upon which it is based. It is an affirmation of God's power, and then it summons that power and those who rely on it to do something great, something daring for God. In our case, right now, the pursuit of justice. Second, because we have such a powerful God who is in the midst of us, we shall not be moved. To say that we believe in a powerful God is one thing. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, so goes the Apostles' Creed. To be a believer is one thing, but what are the consequences of that belief? Therefore, what? You and I believe in an omnipotent God, so what? So you need not be moved, for God will help you right early, and that's pretty soon. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. God flexes God's muscle, and everything is all right. Have you ever been on a rocking boat? I certainly have, on the verge of seasickness, and I actually got to that point. The advice comes, stop looking at the bobbing boat and the rolling waves. Fix your gaze on the far horizon, on the shoreline. The long view became and is the best view. Each day, God would have us do the same. God wants us to look up and trust to Him in this crisis instead of worrying about all the little trifles that ordinarily upset us. God would have us take the longer view and not concentrate on the little close-up problems. God wants us to remember that because God is all-powerful, we shall not be moved when we concentrate on Him. So, these two thoughts from Psalm 46, the God of Scripture is an all-powerful God, and therefore we will not be moved. Finally, this is so because we trust in Him. We trust in God. In Psalm 46, the relationship is one of trust between God and the people of God. The pronouns are plural. This is a song to be prayed and sung shoulder to shoulder, standing alongside other believers. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. James Lindbergh, who is a professor at Luther Northwestern Seminary, tells this story. He came down the stairs into the living room where we were gathered, carrying a battered, once golden trumpet in his hand. He had been a pastor in a small town in East Germany for more than 40 years, and now he was retired. He and his wife were guests at a friend's home in West Germany. After we were introduced, he started telling us about this trumpet of his. He had played it in brass choirs in Germany for more than 50 years. And then he told of his daily routine. Our parsonage was right across the street from the courthouse where all the communist leaders of the town had their offices. Each morning at exactly 8 a.m., I open the window toward the courthouse, take out my trumpet, and play two hymns. "Would you play them for us?" I asked. "Of course," he said. The second hymn was A Mighty Fortress. As he played, I wondered how many times had he sent that battle hymn of the Reformation out into the open air of East Germany. What memories did that melody evoke in those who heard it? Memories of confirmations, of choirs, of church services packed with parishioners. What a statement of faith. You know, Luther only wrote four verses of this great hymn as this commentary on Psalm 46, but we do have Luther's personal comments in his own handwriting in the margin of an original manuscript. He wrote, "Were they to take our house, goods, honor, child, or spouse, though life be wretched away, they cannot win the day. The kingdom's ours forever." My friends, we are summoned in these days, and still in these days, 20 years later, to ground our faith in God Almighty, to trumpet our trust in God alone. Yes, God is in the rubble, and God will lead us to justice and to the end of destruction and terror. Let us pray. Holy God, we ask you to bless our hearts and minds this day. Bless the thousands of people who have been impacted personally by this horrific event 20 years ago. And bless them and give them your love and grace and mercy. In Jesus we pray. Let all the people say, Amen.